Acts chapter 5, verse 42 is an amazing scripture. It ought to challenge us, and we'll let it challenge us this morning. We're going to read verse 42, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily, and in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your help, your encouragement. Lord, that's a song. I think the Lord said it all. We just want to thank you, Lord. And Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, we're going into our Thanksgiving week, and we do ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a people of a grateful heart. Lord, we ask now as we bring the Bible this morning, we preach the Word of God, that it would stir, it would comfort, it would exhort, it would do whatever it needs to do today. I pray, Lord, for those that may be here without Christ as their Savior. There was a day I walked in a church, did so for some time, and wasn't saved. And it was the best possible place I could have been, because there I learned how to be saved and had your Spirit speak to me about being saved, and there I was saved. And I pray, Lord, that maybe today would be the day of salvation in somebody's heart and life. We're excited there's those that are going to follow you in believer's baptism today. That's always a blessed thing for us to be a part of. But right now, Lord, for this moment, it's time for the preaching of your word. I pray that you still and settle our hearts. Lord, help us, Lord, not to go in and out during the service. May we sit, maybe be focused, maybe listen to what your Holy Spirit would have us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. I'm going to give you a great, great truth today, and then we're going to chase it through the Bible a little bit and let it help us in some individual areas of our lives. But let me give you a great truth today. I believe that sometimes as Christians we are overwhelmed when we see all that the Bible says, and also when we see our own frailties, our own shortcomings, and our own weaknesses. Sometimes we begin to look at life, and we begin to look at what God is asking of us, and if we're not careful, we'll let the devil begin to sit on our shoulder and say, "You can't do this. You can't live this. You can't be these things." Let me just give you something that I probably ought to say more often than I do. Let me assure you of something that's absolutely 100% true. And don't ever let the devil trick you by trying to convince you of this. But I don't believe for one second, that if you come to church, but you are not yet living everything that the Bible says to live, that you're a hypocrite. Let me say it again. I don't believe for one minute that if you're coming to church and you're still not living everything that the Bible says, that you're a hypocrite. Let me share this with you, folks. None of us are living everything that the Bible says. None of us. None of us. Oh, maybe I'm mistaken. Is there a perfect person here that I haven't had a chance to meet yet? By the way, if you stand, sir, I'm going to ask your wife whether or not that's true. So if I was you, I'd just grab hold of your seat, you know, and stay right there. No. I think we misinterpret what a church is. The church isn't a place where a bunch of perfect people show up and so we can reflect on each other's perfectness. That's not what this is at all. This is a place where people gather together that have genuine needs, that need help from the Scriptures. It's a spiritual hospital. It's a place where if you are lacking in some areas, you can get some help. If you are weak in some areas, you can get some strength. I mean, to say that an imperfect person to come to church makes them a hypocrite would be like saying that some sick person who went to the hospital was a hypocrite because he went to the hospital. Wasn't a hypocrite because he went to the hospital. He was a hypocrite because he was wise because he was smart enough to know where he needed to go to get well. And so, let me just say this. Sometimes the Christian life does seem overwhelming, and sometimes the devil does play with our minds a little bit and tell us, you know what, maybe you ought not to be there. Maybe you ought not to be there because you're not all that you should be or could be for the Lord. Let me give you one of the greatest truths that will help you in your Christian life. Brother Jerry, how in the world do I live a Christian life? How do I live it? Here's the answer. You live it one day at a time. You live it one day at a time. You live it today and you do the best you can. And you know what? You're going to succeed in some areas. And if you're like most of us, you're going to fail in some areas. Try to learn what you can from your successes and learn even more from your failures. And go to bed and wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, I want to do a little better than I did yesterday. And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to live it out again. And you know what? You may have more successes and fewer failures. You're going to have those days where you have more failures and fewer successes. But you know what? You just say every day, Lord, help me to learn from what I went through today and help me to be better for you tomorrow. And you go to bed and you get up and you don't quit on God. Don't ever quit. I'm going to give you some things that will help you in your Christian life, because in this matter of living the Christian life one day at a time, there are some things that the Bible gives us and challenges us as Christians to be and to do every day of our life. Now, most of the things that I'm going to cover, the vast majority of you are going to say, but Gary, I don't do that every day. Listen, let's not worry about doing it every day. Let's just try to do these things today. Let me say it again. Let's not worry about whether we can do it every day of our lives. Let's just try to do them today. And if we do, let's praise the Lord. If we fail, let's say, tomorrow I'm going to try to do these things that the Bible says are daily responsibilities for every Christian. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to give you just four. We don't want to overwhelm you. I don't want to be overwhelmed. Let me just give you four things the Bible challenges us to do daily. Daily. There's some things, children, you young people, there's some things you ought to do every day, like take a bath. Any of you parents have trouble with that? You gotta chase them and wrestle them and convince them. And, you know, my parents were crazy about that. They actually expected boys to take a bath every day. What in the world is with that? There's some things you ought to do daily as a Christian. Let's look at those things. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Notice this. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let me just challenge you to incorporate some activities and make them a part of every day of your life. Here's a great one. Boy, this is a challenge. And this is one of those things where maybe we have to go to or grow to. We're certainly probably not there yet for the vast majority of us. But let me give you this. First of all, I want to talk to you about our duty to the lost. Four daily duties of every Christian. Our duty to the lost. What is that duty? That duty, that daily duty, is to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let me explain to those of you that are visiting what the purpose of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is. What is number one on our priority list? What's first on our agenda? What do we look at as the core reason of our existence? Don't miss this. The core reason of our existence, at least for this church, I can't speak for every other church in the county, but I can tell you what ours is. And that is to get the gospel to people who are lost. I believe that the church is to be a light. Now, that's why I'm going to take a few minutes and do what I'm going to do right now. You know, I believe that as Pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and especially on a Sunday morning, it's good to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never know who's going to walk in the door. And let me say this. If you've never been saved, Jesus Christ wants to save you. Now, let me assure you of a couple things. Number one, if you're here today and you're not saved, Brother Jerry, I'm not saved. But I sense by the way people are amen that a lot of people are saved. Let me tell you something about them people saying amen. There was a day when they weren't saved. So how do you know that? Because we're all born in sin. And there's never been a person that's been born a Christian. You can be born again and become a Christian, but you weren't born the first time a Christian. When I was born into sin. It didn't take very long for that sin nature to show itself. and man alive, my parents are over there like waving a hanky and praising the Lord and all this. If you got children, it didn't take you very long to figure out that we're all born in. Every once in a while I say this in the pulpit. I don't want to diminish or demean the sweetness and the cuteness and the wonderfulness of our overflowing nursery. This has been the year of the baby. I think we've had a baby boom here. What a blessing that is. You know, you seen the other day, I was driving out here, I was going west of town here, and there was a guy that came out in his front yard, and I actually drove by while he was doing it, and he carried one of those signs that you buy at one of the stores, and you put in your front yard when you have a baby, and it said, "It's a boy!" And he put that in there, stepped back and looked at it like that, looked up and down the road, and chest all out, walked back to the house. He wanted the whole world to know, "It's a boy!" I think one of these days we ought to make a sign that says, "It's a sinner." I mean, folks, we're all born the same. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. You don't have to teach a kid to be selfish. I mean, I'd like to meet the 3-year-old that says to his 5-year-old brother, "No, you take the bigger cake, a piece of chocolate cake. I want you to have it. I don't care." No, you'll have a knockdown, drag-out war. You'll have a... I mean, we used to get a ruler out and try to measure to see, you know, which was the biggest, and if he got... Listen, you don't have to teach kids that stuff. You know what? We're all afflicted with the same wicked disease. And we're just all sinners. And God knew that, and that's why He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to come down and die on the cross for our sins. Now, I've got good news for you. Jesus paid for your sins already. He already paid for them. He's paid for them. All of that's been paid for. But you, and by the way, what He purchased for you, the Bible says, is eternal life. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus paid for our sins. He bought eternal life. He holds it out. And from the time you're born and come to the age of accountability to the time you die, God's holding that gift of eternal life, and He wants you to have it, and He wants to give it to you. But you know what? Every person has to decide to turn to Christ and receive what He's already purchased for you. Have you ever done that? When I was a young man, I came into a church and I was lost, and I began to attend and began to listen, and God began to deal with my heart. And you know what? There was a day when I said, "I need to be saved." And I got saved. The Rock Run Baptist Church, north of Brazil, Indiana. Have you ever been saved? Our duty, Christians, let me redirect now my thoughts and get back to the Christians, because we're talking about 4 daily duties of every Christian. Our duty as a Christian, our daily duty, is to get the gospel to the lost. Now, let me just give you a fantastic thought and a real challenge. You know, I think sometimes what we think as Christians is, "Well, Brother Gary, if I made a commitment to every single day of my life try to get the gospel to some lost person, that means I would have to every single day stop and knock on doors till I found somebody that was willing to listen and get my Bible out and go through the Scriptures." And by the way, if you made that commitment, you made that decision, I'd say amen. But the honest truth is, folks, the Bible says some plant and some water, and God gives the increase. Can I share with you that if all of you, all that you do, and I think sometimes we shouldn't say all that you do, because this is a big thing to do. If all we decided to do as Christians was just take some gospel tracts and try to give out one a day. If all we decided to do was, "Lord, I don't know if I can do it every day for the rest of my life, but help me to do it today. Help me to have an opportunity to share my testimony with somebody, or say a good word for the Lord to somebody, or invite somebody to church. Lord, help me to plant some kind of seed, gospel seed, in the life of some lost person. Somehow, some way." Say, "Well, Brother Jerry, there's days I don't even leave the house." You ever thought about this? I thought about this. I got this crazy idea. We might actually try to pull this off. But have you ever thought that maybe if you just reached over and picked up the Greene County phone book and just opened it up and went like this and put your finger on a name and called them up, "Brother Jerry"? Well, the Bible says to every creature, and said, "Hello, I just want to introduce myself. I really don't know you. I just put my finger on the phone book and I told the Lord I'd try to tell somebody every day about the Lord, and my name's such and such, and I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and the Lord saved my soul, and I'd just like to invite you to church and ask you if you're saved, and if you're not, I'd be glad to send somebody to come by and see you, or send you a gospel tract, or talk to you now about it." Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be good? What I'm saying is this, folks, this whole idea that it's impossible to sow a little seed every day is just not true. That it's impossible to pour a little water on some seed that's planted is just not true. I believe if we wanted to, we could fulfill this daily duty of every Christian, and that is just impact somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ in some manner. We've got a good number of people here today. Can I give you an unbelievable thought? Say, Brother Jerry, if I did that every day, if I just started the day and say, for the next year I'm going to do it every day, the next 365 days, that means in some way, in some manner, you will have impacted somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ, 365 different people you'll have personally influenced in the next year. Now let me just give you an unbelievable thought here. Let's just say, I don't know what we'll have in attendance today. We'll have probably, if we have our average attendance, somewhere around 250 or 260, something like that. Let's just say we had 200 people that decided to do that for the next year. And say, I'm going to try to at least average. I might miss a day, but maybe the next day I'll get two. But as God opens the door and as I seek to do it, I'm going to try to just daily, make this a daily thing in my life. You realize that 200 people did that and just talked to one person or influence somebody with the gospel in some way, just one person a day for the next 365 days, do you realize that we will have sown or watered 73,000 times? 73,000 times. Well, Brother Jerry, if I just did it once, that's 365. By the way, that's great. But you know what? That is the power of the local assembly. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if God just got a hold of our hearts and said, you know what, one of the daily responsibilities, one of the things we see in the book of Acts that Christians did daily was that they were out and about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a duty to the lost. Let's not forget that, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm just talking to our home folk for a minute. I'm just talking to our membership for a minute. I'm talking to our regulars for a minute. We cannot shirk that responsibility. We can't decide it's just for a handful. It's just for the pastor. It's just for the staff. It's just for the deacons. We have to get burdened and ask God to let us, to use us to impact other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you another daily duty. Go to Acts chapter number 17. We were in Acts chapter 5. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Seventy-three thousand opportunities. One person a day with the gospel. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Let's read verse number 10, okay? Acts 17:10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, and coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Notice this, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Those of you that are in attendance and have the opportunity to attend our adult Sunday school class, we've been teaching on what I call a layman's guide to studying the Bible. You know what? I sense an excitement at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I sense it as I'm teaching it. I sense it as I interact with some of you. I've had people tell me, Brother Jerry, this is the best thing that you've taught in some time, and this is resonating with me. I want to begin to do this. I'm taking notes. I'm going to begin to do this. You know what I believe, folks? I believe it is your responsibility as a Christian. Your responsibility as a Christian to search the Scriptures daily. We have a responsibility and a duty to the lost. Number two, we have a duty to the Word of God. To the Word of God. Now let me just not spend a lot of time on this, but let me answer a question that will help a lot of you and save you from having to ask your preacher this. And by the way, I'm not against other books. I read a lot of other books besides the Bible, but I don't think I read any book as much as I read the Bible. I can say that without any question. Let me just give you the, hey, Brother Jerry, do you know a good book on marriage? Yeah, I do. There it is. Hey, Brother Jerry, can you recommend a good book on child rearing? Yep, right here. Here's a good book on child rearing. Brother Jerry, I need a good book on leadership. Here's an excellent book on leadership. Excellent book on leadership. Brother Jerry, I need a book that'll help me with my finances. Here it is right here. This is the best book in the world to help you with your finances. Brother Jerry, I'm thinking about hiring somebody. You got a book that'll... No, right here. Best book on how to discern who to hire. Brother Jerry, I've got... Listen, you name it. You name it. You name it. I guarantee you this book has something to say about it. And we know this. This book was not written by man. This book came from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we have a duty to the Word. Now God has given us a book. Starts in Genesis, goes to the book of Revelation. It's filled with wisdom and practical principles and helps. It'll help you in your marriage. Listen, that's why it's so important. Let me give you this, that you attend the house of God. That's why it's so important that you come and listen to the Bible preached and taught. I'm talking about Sunday school. We teach the Bible. Sunday morning we preach it. Tonight we're going to be teaching Christians on how to take their Bibles and win somebody else to Jesus Christ. On Wednesday we teach the Bible in Master's Club. Get your kids here. What do they do in Master's Club? Well, they do a lot of things, but one of the things they do every week is teach the Word of God. What goes on in our Sunday school classes? Teaching the Word of God. Right now we've got 3 children's churches going on. Not just the folks in this service, but there's 3 other services going on. Our primary church and our children's church and our junior church. What's happening in there? They're teaching and preaching the Word of God. You know what, folks? We as Christians have a responsibility to come to the house of God and hear it preached. But if all we ever get from the Word of God is what we hear on Sunday, let me say this. You need more than that. You need to search the Scriptures daily, study the Bible daily, read the Bible daily, make this book a part of your everyday life. Let me say this. I rejoice in what God does in my heart through His Word. I mean this. I can more imagine. Are you listening to me? I can more imagine going a day without eating food than I can go a day without reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Would to God we got as spiritually hungry and realize that our soul needs this as much as our body needs food. This is what God has given us. And please, please, please take some time every day, Christian, and fulfill your duty to the Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we continue this thought, 4 daily duties of every Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look, if you will, at verse number 31. We have a duty to the lost, and that duty is to get the gospel to each and every person that we come in contact with. Every day, daily be busy about that. We have a duty to the Word, and that duty is to search the Scriptures and find out what the Word of God truly says. Let me give you number 3. We have then not only our duty to the lost and our duty to the Word of God, we have our duty to ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. I was hoping you'd get to me. I was hoping you'd get to the place where you could tell me what my duty to myself is. Okay, let me help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. Let me help you as a Christian. You have a duty to yourself. There's something that you ought to do every single day. Here it is. Die. Say, Brother Jerry, I do that every day. About 9:30, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, I just lay down and I die. No, that's too late. You need to do it earlier in the day. Earlier in the day. Brother Jerry, what in the world are you talking about? What is Paul talking about? Our pastor, Pastor Ross, many years pastored this church, said, you get up every morning, look in the mirror, and you're going to look at the person that gives you the most trouble on any single day of your life. No, Brother Jerry, it's him, it's her, it's them. No, it's not, it's you. And it's me. The person that's going to give me the most trouble today is not y'all or nobody waiting outside those doors. The person that's going to give me the most trouble today is me. We live in a day and age where the Bible says in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, and we spend way too much time worrying about us. What we need, what we want. Are we going to get to do what we wanted to do today? Are we going to get what we wanted today? Are we going to get to go where I want to go today? And the honest truth is, listen to me, selfish people make lousy Christians. Because as you follow Jesus Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I would challenge you to do this. I would challenge you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and follow Jesus through the Scriptures and come to me and point to one thing that He ever did that was about Him. And He was the Son of God. You know what He said? He said, I'll just come and be a servant. I'll just come and die for others. I think it's time, disciples, let's go to the next village. Well, you haven't anything to eat. Well, I need to go though, because there's a woman waiting at a well and she needs to hear about living water. Well, you taught all day, Jesus. Yeah, but there's a multitude and they haven't had anything to eat yet. Well, Lord, you've been going and going. I know, but there's more sick people and they need to be healed. There's more people that need the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me share this with you. I believe that if we're going to be successful in the Christian life, one of our daily duties is to die to self. Now, let me tell you a great way to do this. Alarm goes off in the morning, you reach over and you hit the what? Snooze button. Thank God for the snooze button. Amen. You say, well, that, if you hit the snooze button, Brother Jerry, you're going to get up late. No, you just do the math. How many times do you like to hit it? Personally, I like twice. Mine has a 9-minute snooze button, so I can set my alarm clock for 18 minutes ahead of time. You say, well, what good does that do? It makes me feel better. I don't like an alarm clock bossing me around and telling me to get up, so at least 2 times I get to slap it real hard, and then say, well, Brother Jerry, that's not... You can say whatever you want to. Leave me alone. I'm having a good time, all right? It works for me. So I get up on time, but I still get the satisfaction of smacking that clock a couple times. Now, you're laying there on the bed. One man said this, when you get it, before you put your feet on the ground, why don't you make that bed an altar? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why don't you just say, God, you know what? What I need to do before I can do anybody any good and do you any good is just turn this bed into an altar, and I just need to die to self. I need to sacrifice self. Lord, I don't want to get up. I don't want my feet to touch the ground. I don't want to take one step into the day where I'm worried about or all about me. Help me to forget about me. Help me to look for the needs of others. Help me to forget about what I want. Help me to think about what you want. And that literally is what this verse is talking about, folks. Listen, even though we are saved and we have this new nature in Jesus Christ, we still have this old nature, this old man, and we need to kill that thing every day because that old man doesn't want to help others. It doesn't want to do for others. It doesn't want to serve God. It doesn't want to go soul winning. It doesn't want to be inconvenienced. It wants to be selfish. It wants to be carnal. It wants to be wicked. And the best thing you can do every day is die to self and live for others and live for God. Our duty is to ourselves is to die daily. I read the story one time of a young preacher that was in his first church. And boy, he wasn't there 6 months. And he figured out that all he was preaching to and all he was trying to lead and what he had in this core group of people in this little country church was a bunch of selfish, self-centered babies. You know what? There's churches like that. They're just full of a bunch of spiritual babies and they come to church every day and they need their bottle warmed and they need their passy and they need their blankie and they cry if they don't get what they want the way they wanted it. And so this preacher, after 6 months, came to the pulpit and said, I'm going to preach out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to preach out of verse number 31, and the name of my message this morning is, why don't all of you just die? Now that's a frustrated young preacher, amen. And you know, years later I felt bad about that sermon, but at the time... It just seemed to fit the need of the hour, amen. You know what? Honestly, I think God has many, many times looked down from heaven at Jerry Ross and said, why don't you just die? The Bible says he that keeps his life shall lose it, but he that loses life shall find it. And the happiest people in the world are the ones that die daily to self. And the most miserable, you think about it, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, the most miserable people in the world are selfish people. Because no matter what you do for them or how much they get, they're still upset that they didn't get a little bit more. Let me give you the last one, Hebrews chapter 3. We'll go to this verse and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 3. Four daily duties of every Christian: our duty to the lost, give them the gospel; our duty to the Word of God, study the Scriptures, search the Scriptures daily; our duty to ourselves, die to self. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me give you a last of all, our duty to each other. Our duty to each other. Hebrews chapter 3. If you'll notice, please, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now this is a very fascinating scripture, portion of scripture, because it's warning each of us personally to check the condition of our own heart. But in the midst of that verse, it puts the responsibility for each other, for other people, upon each of us also. And I believe that one of the things we all could do better as Christians is to learn that we have a duty to each other, and that duty is exhortation. Let me say that word again. Exhortation. "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." What does the word exhort mean, preacher? Exhortation, or to exhort, means to invite, to invoke, to call near, to beseech, to call for, to comfort, to exhort, to entreat. What does it mean? It means that we hold each other to account. We are each other's cheerleaders. We are each other's encouragers. Listen, folks, if you begin to see a brother or sister and they're struggling in their Christian life and they're fighting battles in their Christian life, it doesn't do any good to go to some other Christian and talk about them. You need to go to them and talk to them. You need to exhort them, encourage them, entreat them, invite them, call them near. You see, I believe that we cannot come to church and just decide that all of us are going to be an island. I saw something outside in the parking lot one of the days of school. I don't think Brother Greg Burcham's in here. He's out helping in children's church, I think. But Brother Greg Burcham, I happened to be looking outside the office door, and I was busy doing something. It was towards the end of the school day, and I looked out there, and Brother Greg Burcham had his arm around one of our young men, and he was walking across the parking lot towards the school with him. I could just see him talking to that young man and spending time with that young man. He had his arm kind of on his shoulder. By the way, that young man was Chad King. Is Chad here? And I don't know, was he trying to sell you drugs? I mean, I don't know what he was... Here, I'm using him as an illustration. I just realized we're talking about Greg Burcham. I better talk to you about what he was... But you know what I looked at and thought? I looked out and saw. I thought to myself, here's a man in our church, and he could have just walked the same way Chad did, and he could have just headed to his car, and he could have just said, "Hey, buddy." But you know what he did? He went over, and he took a few minutes, and he walked, and he talked with a young man, and he just spent a little time, hopefully, exhorting him in some good things. And I thought to myself, praise the Lord. Can I say this, folks? Here's an older man. And Greg's not, he's a young adult, but you know, he's a lot older than Chad, reaching down and helping somebody. And I thought to myself, you know what? Those of us that have been saved a while, especially, and we're a little older in the faith, we've got the responsibility to leave our comfort zone, to slow down, to not rush past, to reach out, to stop somebody. And I'm not talking about chewing them out. I'm not talking about land blasting. I'm not talking about what you don't like or what they need to do. I'm talking about exhorting them, challenging them, encouraging them. I think back in my Christian life how many times when I was struggling, some older Christian came and put their arm around me or stopped me and said, let me just take a few minutes, or let's go get a cup of coffee, or hey, listen, after church I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and just challenged me to stay by the stuff. And can I say this? That's a great ministry. And let me say this, that's a daily responsibility for every Christian. When's the last time? I mean, think about this. We did the 73,000 math a minute ago. What if we decided that once a day, every day, we were going to try to impact another Christian in a positive way to encourage them to stay by the stuff? Hey, you know what? We have College Students of the Week. Have you ever sat down and wrote a College Student of the Week, an encouraging letter? Have you ever picked up the phone of the Sunday school teacher that teaches your children? Have you ever picked up the phone and just called them and said, listen, you know what, I haven't said this, and they've been in your class for a year, and man, I probably ought to be calling to apologize, but I'm going to tell you something. Thank God for you. They may be discouraged. They may be thinking about quitting their class. You know, so many times people go through rough times as Christians, and if we're not careful, we want to talk about them when we ought to be talking to them. Let's go and encourage them. Let's exhort them. Let's take the time to meet with them. Let's lift them up. Let's help them. Hey, that's part of the Christian life, is satanic attacks and struggles and valleys. And you know what? We as Christians, we need to fulfill our daily responsibility to each other. Now, I was thinking about this and I'm done. But if we just took on these four things, Brother Jerry, I can't make a commitment and promise I'll do these four things the rest of my life. Remember what I said? How do you live the Christian life? You live it one day at a time. What if just one day everybody in our church said, you know what, I'm going to take this sermon and I'm going to take it to heart, and on Monday, tomorrow, I'm going to fulfill my duty to the lost. I'm going to at least give the gospel in some way to at least one lost person. I'm going to fulfill my duty to the Word. I'm going to take a little time before I rush out the door, and I'm going to open the Bible and read it and study it a little bit. I'm going to fulfill my duty to myself, and I'm going to die to self and live for others. And when I get to bed on Monday night, I'm going to look back and say, you know what? I wasn't selfish today. I sought out to put others before me. I sought out to please the Lord. I stopped worrying about myself. And then if we just said this, I'm going to find some other Christian, ask and think about it, pray about it, find some other Christian that just needs an encouraging word, and I'm going to be that person. What would that do to impact this world? And here's the real question. What would it do to change who we are? To really change who we are. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to just go through the Bible and chase this little word through the Scriptures and look at four of our daily duties as Christians. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our invitation, Lord. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to rise to the challenge. Forgive us for our frailties, our failures, and our shortcomings. Lord, we certainly won't do these things perfectly, but I pray that you would help us one day at a time, with your grace and strength, to live out the Christian life and fulfill these responsibilities. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me just speak real quickly. I shared at the very beginning of the message a little bit about salvation. That is the purpose of our church. That's the purpose of this pulpit. That's why Jesus came. Jesus said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to die on the cross to pay your way to heaven. He has purchased for you the gift of eternal life. He offers it. But the Bible says each man must choose to accept that or reject that. Say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm not going to reject it. If you do not accept it, then you choose to reject it. Here you have an opportunity this morning. I remember thinking back this morning how I attended a church for some time and listened, and God began to work on my heart. And I'm so glad there was a day when I walked the aisle and talked to the preacher and somebody took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. Folks, I'm not exaggerating when I say hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, probably thousands of people, in the 35-year history of this church has walked the aisle, and somebody has kneeled around this front altar with them somewhere and opened the Bible and showed them how to be saved, and they prayed and received Jesus as their Savior. I would say this, you'd be hard-pressed to find any of them that would tell you, you know what, I sure am sorry I got saved. I've never met one. One of the greatest things in the world is to be able to lay your head down on your pillow at night and not have to worry about what's going to happen if you were to die or if Jesus were to return. Have you ever been saved? If not, let God speak to your heart this morning and respond to the invitation. We have people that are trained to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. They care about you. They'll be very careful with you. But they'll show you how to be saved. I pray that you'd let the Lord work in your heart. In just a minute, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And as we begin to sing, we'll have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you'll slip from your pew and come up here, we'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to have one more prayer. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here today that would say, Preacher, you know, if you're asking me if I died right now, do I know for sure I'd go to heaven? I couldn't give you a positive answer. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know what would happen if I was to die. But God is speaking to my heart. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I won't call your name. But I'd like to just pray for you. Preacher, I don't think I'm saved. But I am concerned about it. I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Just slip it up real quick and I'll see it. I'm not saved, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me, Preacher? I'm not saved. I don't believe I'm saved, but I am concerned about it. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Heavenly Father, Lord, not only do you see the hands, you see the hearts of each of us. And I pray, Lord, that you would please do a work in our lives. I pray, Lord, for what we've heard as Christians today in this matter of our daily duties. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to fulfill our duty to the lost, to your word, to ourselves and to each other. And Lord, work in our hearts. Make us tender to those things. Make tomorrow, Lord. May we just decide this morning we're going to make tomorrow a test day. We're going to spend tomorrow doing those four things. We're going to fulfill our Christian duty, Lord, tomorrow. And Lord, even as you open the door the rest of this day, help us, Lord, to share the gospel and to study your word and to die to self and to exhort and encourage each other. Bless our time, Lord, now during this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.